Hello and welcome to our 90th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about the new testing call for the FSE program, Gutenberg 16.7, and WordPress 6.4, of course. And I'm your host, Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and full-time core contributor for the WordPress open source project sponsored by Automatics 5 for the Future program. My special guest today, again, is Tammy Lister, and she and I are working on the WordPress 6.4 underrepresented gender release team, and she is the co-lead of the editor tech teams. She also works as a developer at MSeed and started our new writing project. You will hear about it maybe in a moment. So welcome to the show, Tammy. How are you? And have you recovered from the last WordCamp?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Yes, I had the pleasure of going to WordCamp Whitley Bay on Monday, a couple of days ago now. It was really nice. It was a small WordCamp at a tiny little beach place up in the northeast of England. And it was a real pleasure to go there and talk about Gutenberg as a product. So, and you mentioned my new writing project. Yes, I'm just writing about like how do all the various parts from patterns, templates, it's at presselements.com, kind of come together, design system, nobody's surprised thinking. So I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, the WordCamp sounds lovely in the last summer days in a bay.
Yeah, wonderful. It was lovely to just be at a single track. It was, I think I'm correct in saying, the first WordCamp since the events of the past few years for my country's community. And it was really nice to just get together and just all be there. And there's something about those small WordCamps that are really nice to have those conversations. You know, at the end of it, everyone can go to the same restaurant and then kind of relax down. And it was a real pleasure to just listen to everyone's talks and just learn how everyone was using Gutenberg and how everyone was, what everyone was creating. I got to see what agencies were creating and what they were doing as well, which was really fascinating.
Yeah, I like the small WordCamps too. I was in July, I was in Leipzig, which is also a very small one-track camp. And it was a very good, I felt very welcome in the German community because I just moved to Germany and it's was the first time it's a German WordCamp. So it was lovely. And we had some great conversations at the after.
You get to do those long lunches and just... Yeah. The pace seems, you know, you're not kind of chasing to go and see everybody because there's so many people in the space. You can actually have the conversations with everybody in the room.
And you don't really, have really to nice. Make, you don't have to make a decision on which session you're going to. No, it's just one track.
And, no, it's just and it was super nice being by the sea. So you could look out of the window and go by the sea and that was kind of nice.
Nice. So we have a few announcements to make. So one of the more hidden features that were part of the WordPress 6.3 release was the command palette, and that can be invoked within the site editor and now also with the post editor using control or command K, and it gives you a quick access to various tasks and settings throughout the space, and you don't have to hunt down the third level menu item to get to places where you needed to go. And Anne McCarthy has published a great article on the core editor improvement series, Commanding the Command Palette. So if you haven't explored that yet, you definitely want to read that. And of course, we show the links in the show notes. And I really, it's, well, first of all, the post editor, I think, is only coming with the 6.4. 6.3 was only with the site editor. But it's such a lovely improvement. If you're a power user, you can get to places very, very fast. Have you tried it?
Personally, the command palette, I think, is going to be really powerful going forward, but I don't think people are quite using it yet. So what I love is that we are creating more documentation and that we are starting to really show these articles and use cases, because in the conversations I've had with people, they're curious, but don't quite know yet how to utilize it. I absolutely have tried it, but I'm also trying to find out, like, how do I start to use this and where do I start to do it? So the more articles that we have on how to kind of extend it, the more happy I am. And I think we're going to get to like the massive doc stuff later. So I'm really excited how all these features we start having things like that as well.
Yeah. And if you want to really get into the what's coming to WordPress 6.4, I really would recommend that you follow Anne McCarthy's call for testing on the final touches, because the instructions lead you all through the area of the features of 6.4, among them the command palette, but also the group block and the new pattern. And yeah, you get to learn how to manage the fonts, of course, the big, big new feature, and how to swap out patterns and templates, and yeah, display a like button on certain things on the portfolio page. And it's a fun call for testing, and make sure that you get your feedback in before October 8th. So all the feedback that you get in can be fixed in beta and release candidate for 6.4. So it's kind of both. It's a training on the 6.4 features, but it's also a kind of have more people find the bugs before we release. So I really hope that you can make it and go through it.
And that's been one of the biggest comments from the font library to the command palette that I've heard from people is, where do I go for all this information? So having these from Huawei Hangouts to these posts, I think is really essential. The moment I show someone one of these posts, their like little eyes light up and they're like, oh, I can go to one place and I can then follow these information. Huawei Hangouts are great for that as well, for people where they can just go and then they can see a summary of links and they can just wander around without having to scour or use search, you know, search inputs.
Yeah,
are really
right.
Difficult to know, to collect that information. And not everybody can ask everybody. And some people just want to, at their own pace, discover these things. So again, that kind of goes back to finding that information. If you are in a release, you're going to know, like, I'm trying fonts because I'm in the release and it's going to come up. I'm trying this because it's in a release and it's going to come up. But I'm not trying the things that aren't in the release because I'm focusing on the release.
Yeah, we will share. Anne McCarthy also did a Huawei Hangout and going through the roadmap and just briefly said, okay, this made it, this didn't made it, this made it, and this, and demo some of that as well if you don't want to go through the call of testing. So I'm going to share that as well in the share notes. No, show notes. Well, share notes could be too, right? Yeah. And then a big shout out also to the WordPress training team. They're quite a productive bunch. And their newest tutorials were, they're not yet for the release, of course, because they don't have all the information yet. But there's an intro into the site editor. So if you haven't gone and use those features, there's a short intro. There's also, for those new to WordPress, how to schedule posts or pages. And one is also how to create your own synced or non-synced patterns. Now that you can do it on WordPress, patterns are really a great way to streamline your processes, but also to help standardize your site production when you work within a team. And then last but not least for this round of shout-outs, the WordPress database. And that's a dive into, if you ever want to customize some of the WordPress, you need to know how the database is structured, how you can access it, how you can do all the edits, updates, and deletes, and what the actions and filters are. So this is it's a short intro, but it's really powerful. So don't forget to go to the learn.wordpress.org site to pick out all the tutorials that you need. But these are the four new ones from September. No, August. Yeah.
I think those are great. And someone could just be joining today and they turn up and they're like, what, synced or non-synced? And we use language that we presume people know what they mean. I do all the time. So I always, it's so good that we're actually like correcting that by having these information resources.
Yeah, and they mix the production of those resources between someone who has been in the community for a long time and just needs a new feature, and those who came in yesterday and need to know, okay, how to create your website with the site editor. So it's so important.
And there's a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge on creating, if you're talking either not just an end user, but you're also talking about someone who is a developer, they may have used different systems and they may use the terminology synced or non-synced completely different to how we use synced or non-synced. So coming into our space, and then we're adorable, but we do use terms in a very specific WordPress way for certain things. So having some clarity, I think, is great, because you never know what is your source of truth for a lot of these things. So I am so pleased to find this information.
And we just talked about this, that the new WordPress developer blog, which has only been kind of happening for the last 9 months, is not so known in the community. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Michael Burridge. He posted a great tutorial for beginners on understanding block attributes, beginners being block development beginners. And there is more to block attributes that meets the eye, and attributes contain data needed for your block, or that data can be retrieved in multiple ways. And in this, he walks you through a progressive kind of complexity way from the anatomy of a simple block to sources and selectors and HTML attributes, and also how to use a query as the source of those attributes. And there were actually some great comments from block developers. As one was, "I've been creating blocks since 5.0, and this is the first time that I actually understood how the query works. Thanks, man." And then I always, another one, "I always struggled with using HTML attributes as the source, and this makes it so clear." So it's definitely a post to look through, even if you're an experienced block developer.
I just adore this because, really, to me, it does come back down to the visibility. And, in the olden days, it was go to make core. It really, make core is not, it's great, but it's an information resource. And a developer blog is really where you're safe to, maybe it's me, but I don't think it is. You're safe to Instapaper. You get your highlighter, your digital highlighter pen out, and you sit down and you learn. And that's what this is becoming. So when I'm talking to someone at a WordCamp or I'm talking to somewhere, one of my first conversations with a developer is going to be, hey, are you following this blog? Because this is, just as if you're following like React or you're following whatever your flavor of awesome that you're creating with, because everybody has their own pet scripts that they create with. Cool. It's like sports teams. Are you following this? Because we always used to say, are you following Make Core if you're a developer? Are you following Make Design if you're a designer? This should be on those lists of, are you following this? If you, I don't actually just think developers. I think even if you're slightly interested in what's going on, because, and I think this is worth saying, the scale of what has been put there, and this might be something to look at in the future, is having like a you need to know, because I think sometimes knowing what you need to know is curious on here, and a lot of people are like presumed knowledge. So
Yeah,
that's
true.
something as we're kind of doing this. Some people have incredible knowledge in PHP, but not the knowledge in JavaScript quite yet. And that's great because this blog can give them that. So.
Yeah, in multiple ways. And also to keep up with what's changing, because Core and Gutenberg
Yeah.
repos are changing so
Theme
much. And
JSONs, block
yeah,
JSON. Like, you, if you were
exactly.
making blocks before and then you went for 2 years to do something like life and then you came back, the way the blocks are done now or the way that themes are done now, completely different from the way that they were being done. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And there's one roundup post on the developer blog that's come out every month. And Justin Tadlock just posted the one from September. And it's a monthly roundup post of for WordPress developers working on plugins, themes, and agencies. And this edition has about 20 plus short updates that gives you an overview, what's released, what's about to come out in future releases, and also for both the front end as well as back end. Sometimes I use that distinction between Gutenberg and Core to make it more one thing. And the monthly publishing frequency is actually more digestible, even if it's 20 plus items. Yeah. But you can decide, they are divided up into highlights and plugin and theme developers. So you only have to, if you're a plugin developer, just do the 10 items from the plugin section. But it's more as digestible than the 3 times a year field guide that comes with, I don't know, tons of updates that are, you never know from the one-liners if it's really important to you personally, or is it just something you can ignore, and it's really hard to keep track of it. So it always be published the 10th of the month, and we are working on the October edition, and it comes out October 10th.
It's random suggestion, but this is not, but I would love to see like behind the scenes of the default theme there or behind the scenes of releases. I don't know, but I would love to see like more community developer stuff there. But that happens with eyeballs on the blog. So I think that that happens as it grows. So more people pay attention to the blog and then more people can be there.
Right. Yeah. And if you are a developer and you want to share your
There
journey
you
on certain
go.
things, yeah, there is, if you go on the WordPress So it's developer.wordpress.org/news is the address of it. There are two things to contribute to. One is the tips and guidelines for the writers and the reviewers, and the other one is how to contribute, because it's not only the writing part, it's also, we need to organize it. We have editorial group meetings and all that. So this is all kind of laid out in two pages. Well, pages, they're very long pages.
I would love to hear more because there's so many good stories and so many so many problems people are solving that they don't keep themselves in a bad way, but they keep themselves because they don't have a place to put it.
To put it,
Like putting it on MakeCore isn't the place. This is the place. So I am so excited we're talking about this.
Even if your personal blog is not the place, because you're talking to clients on your personal blog or the agency blog, it's a
Your
place
personal
to,
blog
because
is also sometimes one
personal.
space. And sometimes you might have like, hey, I did this. I'd love other opinions about what I did, which is hard to do, but it's also good to kind of collaborate and kind of share as well. So,
But
yeah.
it's more the exploration on the personal blog where you can kind of collaborate with people, but then the outcome of it could be on the developer blog, on the official WordPress developer blog. So there, we have a discussion board on the Gutenberg. I share all those links, of course, in the show notes in the developer blog content repo on GitHub, where we have discussions, and we talk about those in the monthly meetings. So kind of hit me up either on Slack, WordPress, or on in the meeting or in the channel. We have actually or dash dev dash blog is the channel for all things developer blog. So come join us. Excellent. Well, thanks for the ping here. That brings us to our section, what's released. And Gutenberg 16.7 had a 3-week release cycle. So instead of the so and the changelog is again about 1.5 mile long with 290 PRs merged. Whoa. So Tammy and I, we have our work cut out today, going over the most relevant parts. So Sarah Norris, your co-editor tech lead, managed the release in preparation on the WordPress beta release that comes on Tuesday, September 26, 2023. And 290 PRs, 72 of those are bug fixes. So it's a really great release with some fixes as well.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying that this is kind of 6.4. It's coming. We got the we have the beta Tuesday. I always like to check. Calendars are hard and tricky, and they're popping up on my computer. With that, that's why we took a little bit of a longer time. But those 72 bug fixes, I think, are incredibly important. We kind of get into that as well. Often, like we focus on the things we release, but the things we fix and made even better and even more stable are incredibly important. And this release has been a lot about that. So, yeah, getting into that and getting into whilst Gutenberg for 6.4 is there, what do we now kind of what now from Gutenberg? So, I'm excited to kind of dive into this. And one day I'll turn up and there'll be a really short change log
I don't know,
for
maybe 16.8 or so. Well, let's look at the November
Okay, right.
one, because there's not a whole lot of people. They're all on vacation holiday, I
Yeah,
think.
but then it opens up again, and then everyone's like, oh, put all the
Oops.
things
Oh,
in it.
yeah. So tell me, what features are you most excited about for WordPress 6.4, to just derail us a little bit more?
I really, it's not features. I'm well, default theme. I've always loved default themes, which is like, yes, it's a Gutenberg, but it's a tangent because it, I think now it showcases what can be done with the editing experience in its current incarnation, if that makes sense. Incarnation is a weird word, but that's true, right? What it should do is showcase, oh, goodness, if no one's been following along, I'm very excited to deliver that Christmas present. It shows what you can do and empowers. So that to me is always powerful, because you click it and it works for so many people, and so many people turn it on from day one. So that, and then just the fixing, it's not a feature. And then I do absolutely have to say font library, mainly because maturity of product. I feel that there's like, I always say, if there's a checklist of like modern editing experiences, like yes, block editor, yes, collaboration, but honestly, like font management feels pretty like standard font management design. So that is really big. What about you?
Yeah, I'm definitely fund management, but I'm excited of all of it. But it's the fund library, it kind of empowers the user first time that you are not having to rely on a theme to get you the funds that you want. So you can do theme selection outside of your favorite fonts, and you can find fonts that can be decorative and can be, yeah, can do a lot more with that as a designer with the site editor now than you could before, because you don't have to bundle all this. You can just kind of
I think
have it
it's
in
worth
there.
saying it's not just you have to rely on a theme, you also don't have to rely on tutorials or plugins or something you might be trusting and it could not be great code. And I don't mean to like scare people, but the way that sometimes people have implemented fonts have at best not been performant and at worst not being secure and not being performant. And having this way, these ways just helps everything from those angles. And I'm not kind of going to be super scary, but the more holes we block from a performance and security angle, the better in that. And it just happens that it's just better from a user journey perspective as well. Spoiler, it's always better that someone doesn't have to Google how to add a font and then put code.
Yeah, and I also like the that you can have the funds stored locally on your site, so you don't have to go out to third parties and share your
It
users in.
encourages good behavior, which I think is really, you know, we kind of started that with the accessibility, with the like little nudge of like, hey, that's not an accessible color combination. Do you really want to do that? And it's doing that. It's encouraging the best practices. And I think the more that we do that, the better. It, like gentle, happy nudges to best practices, you know, is the best way.
All right, let's get into the change log. So the first feature that I kind of see on the change log, but it's not, is rename block group blocks in the editor via a modal. And this is so powerful because it helps you as a site developer or even as a template developer to actually name the things, the sections that your template is for. Or if you have a long post, you can easily see it's not only just heading, 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 heading. So you can actually name these things and find your way around much better. It also keeps the name if you give it a name in the pattern, it keeps the name also there. So I really love that new feature. Yeah, so I'm glad it's coming to 6.4.
So next we have font library, which you've already kind of discussed, I think, but really it's the font collection back end and the front end. It seems a small feature, but really I think in the importance of this is to do the call for testing again and kind of say that, because yes, something getting in, but something getting in that has a really thorough call for testing and everybody has kind of got their sticks and gone and tested it with everything and tested it with their existing implementations of fonts, I think is something worth calling, because or tested turning it off, because quite a lot of people may have pretty established settings at the moment. So we need to know, can you turn it off? And can you, particularly in an agency setting, can you turn it off? All these kind of things. So knowing how it works in your situation and being empowered to do that is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Every new feature in WordPress comes with an off switch because that's
Yes.
some people
But
want. Yeah,
knowing how to do that
but that's
now will super educate you for when 6.4 comes out. And I think that's my biggest like reflection from working in that space is know learn now at beta what you are going to be turning off going forward. Yes, it's going to take you a little while to roll out those new features, but being able to know and then pivot is really important.
And so for the user that are using the site editor to build themes, so you can upload the font management thing is you upload a font that you first have downloaded and then upload it to a site, and then you can select the variants of it, and then it will fill up the drop-down boxes for font management for blocks, elements, and for even patterns and templates and all that. So it's so powerful. It also lets you delete fonts that are already enabled. You know, just delete them and they are not have your user use them. So it's quite a big new
I
environment.
almost want to plug in where someone says, hey, you haven't used that for like, someone sits with fonts for a certain time. Hey, you haven't used it for a while. I'm sure someone's going to create that. Would you like to remove it? Because, humans, I'm
Oh
going to be trying a lot of fonts.
yeah. I like the gamification kind of thing. So after 6 months, if you haven't used it, yeah,
Hey.
I need to use it in my closet, you know, as well, to kind of have a person point out to me, okay, you haven't worn that t-shirt for
But I
two or
think
three
that's part,
years.
yeah. But I think that's something that we maybe can kind of, we are totally going off track, but that's something like to look at as improvements to all of these kind of things is, and that's the evolution. That's part of it, right? We're putting these switches in, and then how do we build? Then giving the feedback. So part of this is also giving your feedback to all these features. So test it and then give feedback, because this is the first pancake at Font Library and the best guess at what people are going to need, but it's not going to be the ultimate. It's going to be the first start of it.
All right, yeah.
Next, we move on to enhancements, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah.
There are lots of enhancements, and one I would particularly like to call out is improving error messages and codes. And not because I am fixated on errors, but mainly because I think it's really important to call out any time the errors and messaging is really improved. Sometimes, like copy errors and different things are just are hard to improve, but that has happened with the Jest Console and Matcha.js. Along with, there's also been visual tweaks to specific block commands. So all of these things, they really add up to just a better experience for everybody, no matter what type of user you are experiencing the editor.
Awesome, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there have been some component updates, and if you are using many core components, you probably want to go through a whole list. We have about three to shout out. One is the support controlling open and close state for dropdowns and dropdown menu. This definitely helps with a standardized way on how to manage that state. And then there's a popover update. You can update the position types now for popover component and make them more flexible in using. So it could be an overlay or floating, or it could be anything that you want. And the documentation for that is in the PR. So if you go through the changelog, you'll see the PR for that. Yeah.
Another one I'd like to call out in there, I'd like to finally finish components, is tooltip. So there actually has been a refactor using, I'm going to try and say this and see if it works, Araya kit. I think that's it. Tooltip was kind of there. It kind of had bugs and it kind of was fixed, but it was there. So this is quite a big one to do it. It means a lot of things. The biggest of those is it's easier to create from and easier to extend from. I think, as well as you just get all the benefits of it being using that as well. So I think that's really worth calling out.
Yeah, definitely. You don't have to run your own tooltip kind of system. You can just tap into the WordPress one. Yeah, absolutely.
And
Yeah.
if you think about how many different tooltips have you seen over time, to me, that is a strong thread leading into a lot of like the phase three site admin stroke design system stuff going forward, is just how can we have lots of awesome things in our Lego kit, going back to Legos, that we can start using foundationally. So if we have one tooltip system, we have one modal, we have one. And then you can extend it, then you can bring your designs to it. I think that that's really powerful. So I am delighted to see this. Shall we move on to Block Library? So Block Library has quite a few in. I want to call out, first of all, buttons. Buttons are a really powerful part of the Block Library. And there's two particular things I want to call out, which is allow using a button element for button blocks and show inserter if button has variations. Again, these are like small but real like quality of life fixes as well.
Yeah, and what I learned, I don't know if I learned it by reading through the PRs or by reading Nick Jago's post on block variations on the developer blog. Sometimes you just don't remember where you read things, but do you have it in your knowledge? And is that you actually can replace a core block with your variation if you just use the is default, and then the core block wouldn't show up in the inserter, but yours will replace that. So if you have a certain separator that you use throughout the whole site, and you never want to see a different separator, and whoever uses the separator has the right one, use that tool, create a separator variation and set it as default, and then it will automatically be the one that's in the inserter for people to pick. And I think that's so powerful and an easy way to extend the block editor for your client sites, without having to do a whole lot of custom block development.
We need that article linked in
Just
the show notes, I think.
So, and speaking of buttons, what was missing terribly from the navigation block, or the navigation menu item, was that you could actually use a button in the header in the navigation to call out a certain feature. Like if you look around, and I saw that in the PR, how many sites actually are using having a button on the top in the header for navigating to a certain specific place on the site that everybody always wants to use, like the login or the access your or pay now or these kind of things. Now you can use it in the navigation block just as a block and add a button to it and style it, of course. Yeah, as a button. So I'm really happy about that.
So moving on, we have one of my favorite sections, the design tool sections. This is a small but mighty section in the change log. And the ones that I would like to call out is add a block gap to post content block. That is really useful. It's one of those small things that you're just like, oh, yeah. Block gap is like an unsung part. That really in design tools, you don't know you need it until you need it, I think, whenever you're creating something. And add block instance element support for buttons and headings. And block supports add background image support to group block. Really interesting for that one. And columns adopt block and heading element colors. Again, what this says to me and what it is really is just refinement and knowing where these blocks and where things are getting used, and that will be from feedback, and that will be from people using them. Probably in this context, a lot of it, and I'm going back to what you're getting for Christmas, which is the default theme. So default themes are great because what they do is they push the editing experience, and that's probably where a lot of this has come from in a beautiful way of, oh, we can't do that pattern, or oh, this agency has given this feedback. So keep the feedback coming and really keep trying to make patterns and breaking the editor, because as you do, you're going to get the design tools and the experience that you want from it, is my best message around design
Yeah,
tools.
absolutely. And
And
I'm
that
really,
leads on to patterns, I guess.
yeah, that's another big feature, but I'm really happy about the background image for a group block. Yeah, I just not always want to use a cover block for the whole thing. So it just, yeah.
Oh, I have so many sites where I just put cover block as the background before everything in some horrible way, just so I can do that. So I now don't have to be evil on my site. So I'm very
Yeah, and you
happy.
just upload it or check it from the, and you have a little at a sidebar, you get a little note where,
We don't have to
which,
hack around it. We can actually use the editor how we wanted to use it, not while we were hacking it.
yeah, and the pattern changes in this Gutenberg release is also something to, now we the developers added categories to your user patterns, to the patterns that you all create. You also can create categories to it, so you can cluster them, you can make them available, you have a little taxonomy to them, and you can also filter by that when you look in inserter as well as on the pattern site editor section. So that's so powerful. It also, when you create a sync pattern, it offers you the category. And I've been testing this, and I really love how that works. You can also have it in your, when you edit it, you can add categories in the sidebar. So it's a very thought through process in multiple ways. So I really, really appreciate that. And it's, you can use them for sync patterns as well as the unsync patterns. Yeah, or the sync patterns are what we called 5 years the reusable block. So it's a new term for the same thing. So I really love it.
So, moving on, do you want to talk about custom pattern category management?
You can change the categories, of course, in the that's it actually using the WordPress native taxonomy management for the pattern category. So you can access it through plugins, your themes, to anywhere where you use custom categories anywhere, because it's just a custom post type. And then you have a custom taxonomy with it. That's all. Cool. What
you
that
can
was,
just leave
yeah.
That bit out then.
Yeah, I'll just leave it there.
So moving on, I think we should be talking about the interactivity API. And we have one particular bit that might seem a little bit unexpected, which we have with the image block. And we have two, which one is revise Lightbox UI to remove behaviors and image block UI updates to the image Lightbox. This shows just some thinking. Anyone that has experienced what the Lightbox, so one, Lightbox is needed. Nobody is in doubt with we need it. But is it needed where it was? Is it needed to be called behaviors? Probably not. Was that the right place? Maybe. No. Maybe no. So this shows reflection. And what this shows is consideration and people taking feedback and something doing that. So I don't know what you feel, but that's what this shows to me, is things should be released when they are ready and when they are in a place. One of the really key things is that this functionality is really wanted, but what if we put it somewhere, everybody is going to learn that it is there. So where we put it better be the place we want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was too many abstractions about the behavior thing. Thinking
yeah.
about it, this would be an example, but at the end of the day, it's a feature for an image, and that's where you find it. You find it in your image settings, image block settings, and in the sidebar, and you can turn it on and off. And what it does is actually, but it's enabling that you can expand it on click, the image that you're looking at. So it fills up the full screen content if you want to. And any user can, with the image, decide if they wanted to enable it or not. So this is kind of bringing something very complex to a very simple user interface. Yeah. And I really love that. Sometimes you take big detours. Yeah.
And the first version was quite complex. And I think that that's it's really good, because it's basically saying, hey, what we put in, what's not, what we, and again, it shows putting something in the plugin gets the feedback that then, oh, nope, reverse the car. And that's good. So now what we have is Lightbox is going to be there, and Lightbox is going to just be a lot more minimal, and it's going to be exactly what it should be. Actually, what it's coming down to is exactly what most plugins have for it, more or less, which I think is going to be a lot easier from a kind of a pitch perspective, and easier from a user perspective of understanding, and easier to onboard users into the native from the non-native, which is always what I think, because there's so many sites that I know that they already have Lightboxes, but I so want to put them onto the new Lightbox the moment it's there. So the closer it is to their current experience, the easier that's going to be. As soon as it's like in a completely different postcode or zip code, depending, choose your own adventure, it's going to be really difficult for that kind of adventure. So
Yeah, but it also has the danger that a lot of people have used Lightboxes before and have a lot of expectations to it. So this is
lots of feelings when you talk about Lightbox. Lightbox is one of those words that, one, people will always visually see something. Two, people always have a favorite plugin. And then three, people always have feelings.
Yeah, we have big feelings, yeah. And right now it's the basic implementation of a Lightbox for an image block. Yeah. So if you expect in the gallery block that you all of a sudden can use it as a carousel, that's an expectation that will not be met.
It's a great call out.
Yeah.
Because I think people are going to want that. In fact, I encountered that recently, of that's actually a common use case patterns. So where you're going to have something, I think that that's going to be a real expectation. And until that happens, spoiler, probably will, because it's
sooner
a natural progression. Yeah.
Sooner or later, it will happen.
It's a natural, but we need to get these things in. We've kind of spoken about that with the font library and everything. We need to get things in their simple form, and then we can complicate. But sometimes it's so tempting to be complicated. Just
So
we're all human.
We want all of it, and sometimes
we want
all of
it
is not what
wanted.
So the another thing that's in the plugin is in the page inspector. the ability to switch templates for pages. So right now in WordPress, we have two places where you can edit pages. That's the old way, the WP admin pages kind of section and add or edit. But the other one is that you can, through the site editor, you have a pages menu there, and there you can also now swap out templates for that particular page. So you have multiple templates for maybe a service or maybe a portfolio or something like that. You can now switch in the page editing section of the site editor the template. I've seen some implementation where you actually can preview the template in the sidebar, but I don't think that made it yet. I was briefly testing it, so if you find it, kudos to you, but I only saw it in a demo on the PR, but in a discussion, but it's I don't think that part made it yet into the plugin.
Moving on, I think we're block API, is that
Oh
correct?
yeah, we're moving on to new APIs for the block editor, and two of them are for the use case of Gutenberg as a framework, so using it outside the WordPress context. And Riad Mengwalla has been looking into certain packages to decouple it for the WordPress backend, and one of them is to extract the undo redo into a methods and storage and all that into a separate package, so it can be used outside the WordPress context. And also introduce something like a block canvas to have the iframe, the block list, and the writing flow kind of also in the framework rather than just in WordPress. That's pretty much all I wanted to shout out, that is coming. Somebody is taking a look at that. I got quite a few when I'm at WordCamp Europe. I had some conversations on how that actually is more developed, and there is a plugin by Automattic, like Gutenberg Everywhere or Block Editor Everywhere, but it's not yet kind of fully developed. And I think having that in core would definitely be a better way to work with that. So things are coming. Please test it, because as Tammy said, feedback is everything in this kind of line of work.
I think something like that is also going to be curious for someone to test and think, does it fit a use case from a pitch perspective? Is it something that you felt you were working around WordPress before? Would it fit into it? Would it not? Were, you know, all these kind of things. Because starting to see WordPress as that framework and WordPress as that fa foundation and Gutenberg as that kind of kit that you can kind of build out from is 100% what I'm kind of curious about. I mean, it's WordPress, but the kit of WordPress is kind of where all of this is kind of going, and it's very, very exciting to me.
Yeah, for me too. And yeah, we talked about it before on this changelog, but not very recently. So yeah, Gutenberg is used in Drupal. Yeah, Gutenberg is used in Tumblr, and Gutenberg is used in Day One, the
Using
journaling
it
app. Yeah.
to build products, using it from, you know, it's such a hipster kind of word, but headless, and I mean that in an adorable way. But honestly, like, choosing the right tool and the right foundation means being able to pick. And to do that, we need things like having it as a framework, and we also need the other thing, curiously leading into the stabilizing block hooks feature, which is just having the right things in the right place at the right time. That's kind of what it is. And marking things as experimental that should be, and just being clean about a lot of what we do. A lot of the times we are just pushing to do stuff, so that is coming in here as well. It is going to be part of 6.4. There's a lot of iceberg features that kind of go through, which is a stabilizing block hooks feature is a stable, it is part of that. It's where you're looking at, you know, a cross between core and also Gutenberg as well. Don't know what you think about that.
Well, the block hooks feature was actually released in a different, in an earlier plugin version, but it was always hidden in the experiment section. Yeah, and so if people don't explore the experiment sections, they don't even know if that what it is. Yeah. So, and now for 6.4, one has there was the decision that, oh, we need this in 6.4. So before it can go into core, it needs to be stabilized. It needs to all the experimentation code needs to be kind of looked at. Is it something we want to support backwards compatibility on for
Yeah.
the next, I don't know, 5 years or 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are
And having
very
that
helpful.
consideration. But I think it's really important to have that consideration and go through as well.
Yeah,
I haven't kind
absolutely.
of explored too much really this. I think this feature is really about trying to get something in that also is going to be really powerful for the foundation.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. So the block hooks features is actually the one that was previously announced under auto inserting blocks. So you could add a like button to a comment block without having a user needing to put it in. They just can take it out from the plugin version. So it's an extensibility feature that people have been waiting for quite a bit. So just to reiterate, what
Yeah,
are block hooks? Yeah.
it's worth calling it out separately. I think sometimes a lot of this, again, the iceberg, a lot of this stuff, as you were saying, it didn't kind of get seen because it's in there, right? The experimental flag is amazing, because there's so much good stuff hidden under there.
And I'm calling out some of the bug fixes for the widget editor. Well, that's a blast from the past. We haven't talked about widgets for quite a while, but it's still very, very prominent in classic themes. And there were some broken layouts that had been fixed. The invisible area on the top toolbar, there was kind of a lot of white space there, as has been fixed. And also the toolbar actually showing in the customizer. And the widget sidebar control has also been fixed. So if you are kind of waiting for those, it's here now in the Gutenberg plugin, and it will come to WordPress 6.4.
That's really important. A lot of people still use widgets, so we have
Absolutely.
to 100% still support that.
Yeah, and kudos to Aki Hamano, who kind of took those three fixes on and to push them over the finish line. So now we come to a huge section in this release. And that's documentation. And there are multiple documentation updates, but I think we can cluster them into three kind of categories or three sections. One is Gutenberg as a framework. So Riad Bengwala has done Bootstrap, the documentation website that is geared towards the usage of Gutenberg outside of WordPress. Of course, he hasn't filled in the pages yet, but he did the architecture of it and also has one page in there to explain how to implement the undo and redo in a third-party editor. And then Nick Jago and Juan Ma and Garrido and Ryan Welcher and some others have worked on the overhaul of the block editor handbook to bring it up to date and rearrange some pages and also to delete pages like the outreach page, yeah, which was actually put in because there was the documentation missing, which is now in there. Or remove unneeded block theme documentation that is coming to the theme handbook very soon. So there's some, so move the glossary and into a get it started, the FAQ, and kind of get the get it started section really robust. And also update how to set up a block development environment with some of the instructions that are much more geared towards and successful into implementation of a local development than before. Anya, do you have any thoughts on that, Tammy?
I absolutely adore that we're adding to our documentation. I think we don't know what we don't know about the with Damon, but the gaps. So if anyone is like, wow, I wish we had this resource, I think saying that this is so great because so many times, you'll repeat either repeating the same information. I would love to have these resources to point to. So I am over the moon that we have these resources. So thank you, everyone that's doing them.
Yeah. And then the third section that I mentioned was about documenting the comment palette, which Ria Benguela has in these dev notes from 6.3, quite a few examples in there, but in on the make core block buried under, I don't know, 450 posts. And they are brought now, those examples are now brought into the commands documentation to add more context and to help people
Think
to
that's really, really
create new
important
comments.
because people are not using that enough quite yet. And
Yeah.
that kind of goes back to the beginning when I was just like, when we were talking about like testing and everything, but really, like, it's a the chicken egg or whatever analogy that we use here, depending on your culture. Really having that, the people that create it really saying like, hey, this is how you can do this, and then people exploring for themselves how to do it. So I personally am going to be checking out that documentation to see how to do, because that's not something that I've played with and I really want to play with, you know, Wappy Clippy and all that. But no, but just really trying to, but now we have these documentations and now we're starting to have the developer blog, we can start going in and just having better resources to do it. So I'm very excited to see that personal happies.
Me too, me too. And I just wanted to call out one update on the component change log to mark the popover slot removal as a breaking change. So we mentioned that the popover had an additional placement there, but there's also probably a little breaking change there. It's documented in a components change log, but I don't think it made it into block editor handbook yet. So I'm going to call that out in the show notes as well, just for those who use that popover component in their own apps. Yeah. It's a small thing, but it might trip up some people. So did we actually get through it?
We survived.
We
Go
survived. Yes. All
team.
right. Oh, damn it. It was wonderful to have you here and go through this. So what's next for us? Of course, it's the WordPress 6.4 beta release on Tuesday, September the 26th, and the release party is at 6 p.m. UTC. No, it's on 4 p.m. UTC. Join us in the core channel and have a party.
I was
Bring
mentally
your
trying
own
to work
beer.
out what time that was me for tea time. That's just tea time for me
Tea time,
to
yeah. All
bring tea
right.
and cake. And I think that's really important to say that for those working on 6.4, kind of now we step, like we've been doing stuff all along, but from beta, choose your own adventure, it really is where we start, you know. Yes, we have been doing stuff. We have not been absent. We have absolutely been doing stuff, but really, this is the hard end of the release where everything gets really like, oh, and everybody starts doing lots of things. You know, it is a shorter release, or the end of the year releases are always shorter. You always try and put everything in Santa's stocking or whoever you're going to believe in, and it never fits. But from a Gutenberg perspective, that means that it's kind of shipped for 6.4, and the plugin will be open for all your happy things to go into 6.5. So, because Gutenberg time travels in the best possible way. So, you will start seeing people starting to talk about wider projects. And because of the gap, you'll probably see people starting to talk about some of the wider projects around collaboration and some of those kind of things. I don't know what you think, but that's kind of what the end of the year vibe is always. You know, people take breaks. Please, people take breaks because you are human. But also, people start thinking about some of the bigger projects. So, you can expect to see probably
What is it
some
that
lovely in-depth make project, make posts, developer blog posts, and just follow always the tickets I love on the GitHub are the tracking ones. Once they tracking, if you search for tracking in the GitHub repo, that's like one of my favorite things to search for.
Tracking and overview. Yeah, those are the big items.
Tracking is like the new hotness over overview at the moment. It feels.
Yeah,
We
so
should unify that.
I'm really looking forward to the next 3 4 weeks, just because we're gonna see a lot of bug fixes coming into 6.4 from the beta release, and then the release candidate. Well, release candidate one is the deadline for developer notes to come out and the field guide to come together. So have an eye out for
Yeah,
that.
you'll start to see sources of truth posts come out, which would be like, here's actually what was in. We've been talking a lot about like, here's what's going in, but say, I don't know, the top toolbar focused outline. I'm literally like looking at something in the change log, turns out to hurt bunnies. I don't know. Then that will be pulled because hurting bunnies is bad. So, you know, all those kind of things is what will happen when it actually goes in and has more people testing it.
Yeah, so the final release 6.4 is in November 7th, so it's early Christmas this year to follow
Yeah.
your
Christmas
metaphor
is early,
there.
everybody. Take
Yeah,
a
it's early
long,
there,
long
and
break.
after that,
Yeah.
a lot of people are going to take off because in America it's going to be Thanksgiving. Christmas is bigger in Europe, yeah, Christmas holidays and all that. So in
But
January.
people also talk about, I think the other thing that people do over this time is think about a lot of the longer term projects. You'll see a lot of housekeeping, a lot of tests, a lot of just general like thinking about the bigger projects. So there'll probably be, as I was mentioning, that the collaboration posts and things, which I think is always you end on that and then you start afresh thinking about the roadmap. I love this time of year because, and this is like one of my favorite releases because, and then you also get the default theme to play with. So you can start thinking
Really
about
looking
what
forward to
you want to do and what you want to create with the editor. What
that.
tickets do you want in next year? What do you want to create? So
All
that's
right.
fun.
Well, we always love to hear from you. So if you have things that we want to, you want us to know about, send us your questions or suggestions or the news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And as always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 90. Wow, 90 episodes. Well, 10 more episodes, we're 100. Well,
Yay, you need cake for
I need
100.
cake. Yes, okay. So thank you so much, Tammy, to be on the show and make this a fun show again. And wishing everybody a nice start into the fall. And I hear you all in 3 weeks because 6.7 had a 3-week week cycle. So 16.8 is not coming out until beginning of October. You all take care and I'll be out of here. Bye, Tammy. All
Bye.
right. Thank you.